Hello and welcome to Things We're Too Lazy to Blog About. I am Amanda Lauren and I am with my co-host, Allie Levine.
Hey.
And we have such a good returning guest. You're one of our favorite guests.
Yeah.
Sorry, other guests who are listening and now have low self-esteem.
They
wish
shit on most of our guests.
I'm just kidding. All of our other guests, you suck.
Amanda humor.
We are with Alexis. You were Nyers, but now you're Haynes. But I feel like for SEO, I always have to put your name, like your
That's
old fine. Name in there.
It can be, it could go either way.
Like yeah. It can.
Hyphenated, it's fine.
You're not hyphenated though.
I'm not.
She's not, but I'm saying like for the show.
I've thought about hyphenating. You hyphenate.
I hyphenate.
Ethan thinks it's stupid, so I don't, but
Justin thinks it's stupid too, but yet I still do.
I actually really want to hyphenate. You know, I've never legally changed my last name.
Yeah. No, I haven't. Mine I just did like through personal. Like I have to still go and do the actual
it's
stuff.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
I just don't want to do paperwork. Wait, do you know I have had an expired driver's license for 4 months and I
nice.
Won't go to renew. You have to if you change
Hopefully
your address.
Hopefully, DMV is not listening.
I know. No, but if you go in
By the way,
your...
this intro, you like just continue.
This
it.
Is, I know. I'm just like.
Continue and then we'll go.
I'm. Please don't call me if you're the DMV. I swear, I'm going to go next week. Like, who wants to stand in a government building
you know,
for
I have to go
hours?
Deal with it.
I know. It's you have to go to traffic court.
Yeah. Don't even talk about it because I can't put it on. Yeah. Like, anyways.
We would rather be podcasting and we're with someone who has a new podcast. Which
yeah.
is so, it's so juicy. Like,
you.
I probably, like, shouldn't say that, but, like, it is so juicy. It's so good. And
it's so
honest.
Too. Yeah, and it's so authentic. It's what people need to hear. And I was going to say, like, so how do we introduce her? Now podcaster, doula,
former reality
mama,
star.
Former reality star.
Wife.
You have many slashes.
I am. I do it all. I mean... I have had the intention of writing a book, which I'm doing right now,
Yay.
And
Yay.
Watching this podcast for a while, but I felt like people kind of wouldn't take me seriously. Like, if I was a reality star that got sober in Malibu and then a year later started a podcast, like, nobody's going to take that shit seriously, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, and that's what every reality star does. So I waited and over the last 8 years of my sobriety have had incredible experience and life experience and so many amazing lessons and, you know, on this journey of self-empowerment and improvement, and I feel like the time is now. So it's just kind of, you know, I set my intention forward and then I was like, now it's time to launch this thing, and I am just so honored and appreciative for the amount of incredible feedback that I've gotten so far.
It's good that you don't hold back because I feel like if you're going to, like, the first one was like, how long was it? You were just talking for like 45 minutes,
yeah.
maybe an hour, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you, it's really, first of all, it's really hard to do because I've done, I have another podcast and sometimes I'm talking for 20 minutes and I'm like, does anyone really want to hear me? Like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
But you did it so, like, perfect. It was so good.
Yeah, I agree. And when I listen, like, I feel like not only are you talking to your audience, but I like that you're very real and very, like, authentic about just where you are in that place. Like, it's almost like you, I know, of course, you think about your thoughts, but I feel like when I'm listening to you, you're just sitting there having that conversation with your friend and giving advice, even if, like, you're not actually having that conversation, if that makes sense.
And that's what recovering from reality is really all about. It's supposed to be a community and a space for people to come and literally just sit on my couch and chat about how we're recovering from life, not
right.
just sobriety, but whether it's divorce or sexual trauma or toxic relationships or dysfunctional family systems, whatever it might be, it's recovering from reality is a place to come together and to connect.
Yeah.
And I think that that's in this crazy world of disconnection, connection is so important.
So important. It's so true. We were talking about this before we started podcasting, we were hanging out, but social media, like, it can be such a great place, it can be such a dark space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's so true. That's where podcasts, I feel like, shine. And I love that you said that, that it's like about that community, because I think people really need that. They need to know that they have that. And it's
yeah.
not just scrolling on someone's feed and hoping you get that interaction and then moving on. Like, you're
yeah.
actually truly connected.
And I think that you and I do a really good job about, yes, we post a lot of, like, pretty pictures and selfies and stuff like that, but there's 9 out of 10 times really great content. I mean, sometimes I'm totally just feeling myself.
Oh, yeah,
like,
you have to. You're like, I look hot.
Yeah,
totally.
But most of the time I try to provide content and in the way, I guess I would just say, I try to provide people with a real life look into my life, which
absolutely.
Is often messy and chaotic and
yeah.
beautiful, and it's all of the things.
Right.
You know?
And I think that's really important. I agree with you, and especially obviously now me being a new mom, like, I went from this whole glam world too to being like, holy crap, I'm literally in crap every day. And I started sharing that, and people were so much more open and wanting to connect with me. And I was like, oh wow, because I'm being relatable, people now actually want to have that space with me. And it's no longer just like this filter of like, oh, I was done up for this event. I'm doing this.
Social media is kind of like the bane of my existence. Like, I don't enjoy
everyone's.
It. I just do it. Because, and if I did just have a blog where it's like, look, I look pretty. Oh, here's this cute product they got in the mail for free. Like, if it was just about that, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I wouldn't do it. I'm really hoping that the recovering from reality becomes a movement of change where we can honestly talk about the things that we're going through, and hopefully it'll save lives.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's amazing, and I think a true like intention and goal. And I think a lot of people, just even from listening from the beginning of your podcast, you could just see, like, I was looking at some of the comments on your website where the
mm-hmm.
podcast is, because I left one, and I was getting, you know, replies, and people were saying, you could just tell by the authentic comments how they were like, wow, this really resonated with me, or I didn't know that about you, and now that makes me feel better about what I'm going through. And that's the thing, it's like, if you explain something that you're going through, you don't know who you're reaching out to
mm-hmm.
in the world that all of a sudden may feel healed by you, or may feel like, oh, it is normal, and it's no longer just this filter of like,
yeah.
oh, that's what I didn't think was ever going to happen. It's like, oh no, but they just went through that, and that's someone I look up to and someone I'm inspired by.
Yeah.
And now they feel touchable to me and relatable because they just shared their true story. So I think there's a huge possibility of like recovering from reality becoming a movement and being like that in people's lives.
And that it's unedited. Because like, as a writer, and like you were saying on the last episode, like, you were doing that article with Nancy Jo Sales, who, by the way, screwed a bunch of people I know. Like, you're not the only one. She's such a bitch. Like, really screwed over.
Very, a broken human being.
You know what? I don't feel bad for her.
No, I don't either, because you're a grown-ass woman and you need to step up to the plate and take a look at your shit and deal with it.
I just don't believe as a writer, like, exploiting people. Like, and I always say, and I remember when I first interviewed you, I always tell people, and I've interviewed like a ton of celebrities and public figures, I'm like, no, like, I don't like to make people look bad. I don't do like expose. People tell me a lot of stuff that I never print, which is kind of fun, just knowing these secrets. But it's just, that's not who I am. It's not what I want to do. And like, I always try to make, I always say, like, well, I'm not going to interview someone I don't like. I don't have to. I don't have to do that. Like, it's my choice entirely. And I like to make people look good. But the truth is, sometimes I think social media, and frankly, like podcasts most of all, it does a better job, because you can just be yourself. No one is going to edit it. No one is going to filter it. No one is going to spin it a specific way.
Yeah.
And you're entirely in charge of your image.
It's nice to have that control. Like, coming from the world of reality television.
Oh, yeah.
It's
no
so,
control.
It,
oh, no control.
Control. No control.
Nope.
And it's loosely scripted.
Yep.
And
whatever the agenda that they're trying to make.
They have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're just kind of... not amused, that's not the right word, but
kind of like this puppet.
Yeah,
they just kind of,
yeah,
that's how I felt on Stripped, and I only went through a small part of what you went through, and
yeah.
it was intense for
so
me.
So, a whole season high on heroin, fighting
yeah.
criminal burglary charges.
So, it breathes.
It was, yeah. I'm kind of shocked I survived that.
No kidding.
And it was a very, very challenging time in my life, and So I think when I got sober, I needed to step away from all of that. And I've had so many people knocking on my door over the years to do this reality show or do this reality show. And my answer has always been no, because I feel as though, not that it would have slowed like my emotional growth or my healing process, but it just wasn't the right time. And
mm-hmm.
I want to be able to, and it's not even control the narrative. I want to be able to be authentically me
mm-hmm.
and to be able to say and do and feel and talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about.
Amen.
And I can't do that on television.
You're right.
And I can't do that, you know, writing my book, I decided finally that I'm going to write a book and I'm going to self-publish it because I don't want to have to kiss ass to a bunch of publishing companies. I don't want to have to take out, you know, parts of my story or change wording here or there if I really like
to fit
it
inside a box. Yeah.
Yep. I will tell you though, if you do want to, I have someone I want to introduce you to.
Okay.
You might actually, do you know Anna David?
That's who I'm working with.
Oh my God. Yay. I was going to, perfect. Yeah. It's so, that's so funny.
She's amazing.
Yeah. She's,
so
I love her.
I've been talking about this for years and now I'm like, it's game time.
Good for
like,
you.
We're ready to go.
And you're in a good space.
It feels extremely overwhelming and my depression creeps in and my anxiety creeps in. And literally I had a mental breakdown a couple weeks ago. I was like, I'm going into a psychosis, I think, right now. Like, I think I'm losing my mind. It's exciting stuff. It's just about balancing. And this is the whole thing. And I talk about this all the time about connections and balance. Having deep, meaningful connections in my life and finding balance, finding enough time for mommy time, partner time with my partner, Evan, you know, personal development, self-care, and then business, and looking at the whole picture and trying to go, okay, I need a little bit more time here. I need a little bit less time here. And that is really hard.
Oh, balance is hard for all of us.
I'm sorry, what's balance?
Point B.
Huh?
No, but seriously, like, I appreciate that you say that because I also have had to learn so much. And I realized part of my postpartum depression was because I wasn't balancing. And I was putting so much pressure on myself to do so much that I was like, oh my God, but I'm like this new person. Like, I've almost been reborn now that I've had my daughter. And I'm trying to figure out how everything fits and how everything works. And some things are going to hit the wayside. And some things do have to shift. And priorities do have to change.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you don't even realize that. And so I appreciate that you talk about that because, again, for me, looking at social media and different moms that I follow that I've had to unfollow, I would be like, they don't show that. They don't show that there's balance. They just show that they're just living that quote-unquote best life. And that best life exhausts me.
Yeah, and I mean, for some people, okay, so I have a friend who has, I think, 5 kids. And she does it somehow.
What?
And it's just like
good
really,
for her.
I mean,
mom
she
goals.
Has a nanny, but like she's really attentive to those kids' lives and is happy and like seems to have very easy pregnancies and very easy deliveries. Like has delivers at home with a midwife in under 2 hours each birth. I mean, it's just like there's a broad spectrum of moms, and so. While that may be her experience, it's not my experience, and I'm not going to allow myself to fall into a place of, you know, what's the saying, comparison is the thief of all joy. It really is. Like, it rips away every bit of my joy and well-being, and it makes me feel so much less than, and it's...
Lulu agrees.
She does. You know, it's pointless. And so, yeah, I've had to unfollow a number of people, too, because I'm like, this is actually making me feel worse than better. And I also need to just stop scrolling through Instagram because who cares what anyone else is doing?
I know. But it's kind of like this addiction, though, because, like, we all do it. Like, we all just scroll. Like, look at what happened when the Instagram outage happened the other day. Everybody lost their mind.
Oh, I lost my mind.
I didn't know what to do with myself. No, people were saying, don't post. It's going to mess up your engagement. Like, I was in line at Rite Aid, and people were talking about it.
Oh, yeah, everyone was talking about it. People were calling me because, like, you know, since I'm always on social media, they're like, hey, is yours working? Hey, what's going on? And I was like, honestly, I don't know what's happening, but everything is down. Like, I literally went to Twitter, and it was hysterical because Twitter had this, like, major engagement spike because everybody's on there, like, hey, what's happening? And I literally was tweeting all day, and I'm like, I haven't tweeted, and, like, I don't know. I tweet once a week just to say hi.
No, you tweet
like,
more than that.
No.
No, you promote because you promote
our podcast. But then I don't like actually genuinely like tweet conversations.
Yeah.
And
no, I don't
want
to
genuine conversations.
Anyone.
I was doing like Twitter game. I was like, hey guys, let's play a game. What do you want to know about me for the next 10 minutes? And I had all the people tweeting back at me and I was like, this is fun, but like I'm never on here. You know what I mean? It was like, so everybody lost their mind. But to the point of like the scrolling, we don't realize sometimes how captivated and
how toxic it is
and how like just our lives revolve around our phones and around social media. And so it's, again, going back to your whole balances and connections, It's so important.
Spending more time outdoors. Like, I really feel like if you want to heal your nervous system, your body, your mental health, everything, get outdoors. Don't go into a big gym with a billion other people sitting on their, you know, air phone.
On their Instagram.
AirPods.
Right.
Walking on a treadmill. It's like, get outside in nature. It will change your life. Mm-hmm. You know, get your feet into the soil. Feel the sun on your face. It's game changer. And I really feel like I've been dealing with seasonal depression because we've had
it's been like New York weather.
All season here in California.
I bought three jackets.
Yeah. Today the wind is so strong. I tried to open the door in my big old truck and like the door was like pressing up against me. I'm like, just get open. It was crazy. Yeah.
I know. The struggle is real. It has been like crazy windy. Like crazy windy, crazy rainy. Like we've had so much rain. I actually said to Justin last night, I was like, so are we out of the drought yet? Because we've had so much rain.
I'm sure we are for like the next 25 years.
It's just, I think the very, very, very bottom of California, their reservoirs still aren't filled, but like all
everybody else is filled up.
Good.
No, it's so, I felt so like, I always feel lost during, like, I don't know if it's daylight, whatever it is, fall back. I don't know what it's technically called.
Spring forward.
No, spring forward is good, even though I always feel out of sorts.
Spring forward is bad.
Yes. No, because you have more daylight. No, but it's bad for one day.
Oh, my God, Amelia would not go to sleep. I was like, help.
You're not a mom. Okay. Bad for one day. I'm like, this fucks up my whole week. I'm tired.
I know. Amelia, a couple came in.
No, I was tired.
Why don't I want to go to sleep? And I'm like, oh, because you're so off. Just go to bed. Like, yeah.
It's so sunny out, Mom. I'm like, yeah, but it's 7:45.
It's bedtime.
Blackout curtains for my whole house.
Thank God, blackout curtains.
Shade store. They'll make them for you in 10 days, and they'll do custom.
Yeah,
this is my plug for the shade store. They've not paid me to say.
Are you an influencer?
No. But I had like a phone call with their. No, I'm writing an article about.
We really should.
And I'm like, that sounds so good. I'm thinking of getting one actually for my bedroom.
But Amelia has blackout shades, and that's why she sleeps at all hours. The best ever. I'm like, I need them for my room.
No, but they make like really nice ones.
Oh, yeah, I know. Amelia's a nice and pottery brand.
No, I know. But like, they make like gorgeous ones. I'm like obsessed.
Apparently. You should be their influence.
I write about interior design. It's like,
I know
I'm
you're
paid
new,
to
but
be obsessed
so
over
plugging them. You
blackout
really
curtains.
You should send them this clip.
No, I actually, I was going to say probably what. But no, I always feel off for a week and then I'm like, oh, it's sunny later. Like, I'm.
Which is nice.
Yes.
But it's all of the transitions kind of suck once you're
totally.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not right. So I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
You're going to bask in it. Yeah.
But
you
know what, though, with like comparing yourself, is it weird that I'm always like, because I know everything is fake and I'm like, what filter are they using? What preset are they using? What program did they use to edit? Like, I'm like, I know you don't look like that. And I want to, like, that's my thing. It's like, what did you do to get this amazing picture?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to think that I look pretty damn close to what I look like on.
No, you look amazing.
Feed.
You're beautiful.
No, you're.
I'll
yeah.
tell you my secret. My very amazing nurse over at Dr. Kennedy's office gives me like lasers and Botox and fillers and thank you, Carla. Carla, at Dr. Kennedy's office. No, I mean, again, that comparison thing is just brutal, and I'm so honest, and I am with all of my followers. I'm like, listen, do not compare yourself to me. I've had a tummy tuck, a breast lift. I've had my lips done, Botox. I mean, it's just like you can't.
But at least you're transparent about it.
And more people should be.
I know. Isn't it funny how people are like, I didn't do anything. And I'm like, dude, yes, you did. Like, I just saw you.
Kim Zolciak, those aren't your lips.
Right.
It's your vagina.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, just own it. If you're going to do it. Just own it.
I mean, look at the Kardashian pictures from like 12 years ago.
Oh my God, how funny are they?
Now. I mean, they definitely.
Oh, they literally look like different people.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't you?
No shame in that game.
No, totally.
I mean, I look at. Who's the one I like? The one I like is Courtney, and she's almost 40, or is 40. And I'm like,
she looks amazing.
Girl.
She's 40.
I know.
She's 40.
Your
she looks amazing.
Yeah, I think Kim turns like 40 this year.
Stop.
I think she's maybe 41. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know their ages. All I know
Close.
Is that. I'm looking at them and going, damn, like, I want to know who your doctor is.
I'm
like,
with you.
Who's doing all that stuff?
Let me tell you.
You can find out.
Like, I said to Amanda, I was like, I'm enjoying nursing and breastfeeding, so, like, I don't plan on stopping anytime soon because I'm, like, actually enjoying it in a rhythm. But when I first wasn't enjoying it, it was really hard. I was like, frick this. I'm stopping this so I can do Botox and fillers again. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But now I'm like, oh, whatever. I'm using as many creams as I can and trying to tighten my skin. And when eventually I can, then I'll do it again. But I'm trying to embrace my natural beauty for now.
Girl, believe me, you'll be fine. You do a couple yeah. laser sessions, you'll be back to normal.
Thank you.
And you'll be fine. You know, and I know that that's so shallow, and it really...
No, but it's not let's shallow, be it's just real. Real. Let's
like,
say
yeah. that. I mean...
It's just real. We're all thinking it, so let's just say it.
I get the whole, like, let's just all... fuck the beauty system and age gracefully oh. and grow out our armpit hair. And it's like, wow, I can respect your decision to do that. Like, that will not be mine. And I hope yeah. that you can respect right. mine too.
Exactly.
As, you know, it's like, I'm doing this. I think it's all intention. Like, are you doing it for other people or are you doing it for you?
I agree with you.
I do it for me.
Right. You want to feel good about yes.
my body looks.
Yes.
You know, and this is how I feel sexiest, so...
Absolutely, so freaking, yeah, exactly. It's
this
like,
is, you girl, don't, stop you don't apologizing. Sleep with
me. Yeah, exactly.
No, it's like, wait, that's like the whole book is like this, is like stop caring about what other people think.
Yeah, absolutely.
That literally, I read Brené Brown's book, I talk about her all the time, I know. But her book, I thought it was just me,
which
but it
one?
Isn't, and she
okay.
talks about shame. And
oh, that's what you had me.
I want to read it.
That's what you had me read.
And I dropped all that shame from the bling ring, all that shame from my reality show, all that shame from my addiction. And now I feel more free than I've ever felt in my entire life. And I'm like, you know what? Why the fuck? I'm just me.
Yep.
I'm just me doing the best I can. Another human being in this crazy world trying to help people to the best of my ability and be a good mom. And
yeah.
that's it. And it's like,
and
unapologetically me. I don't care. I love being authentic. I'll talk about anything now.
Yeah,
where
right.
back then I felt like I had to be so censored and so
right.
perfect all the time. And I
yeah.
couldn't say
stay
you
in
know,
a certain
now,
box
yeah,
and yeah.
not doing it anymore.
No,
don't
good
care.
For you.
That's where I want to be. Now I want to read that book
oh,
because
she had me read it. It's amazing.
I have like a million Audible credits because I keep forgetting to cancel.
Audible, that's so
yeah,
easy.
Yeah, you'll love it.
They're
don't
like
cancel your Audible. I'll send you 15 books right now that'll change your life.
No, send them to me. They're like you. They're like you can't have any more credits. You need to download books. Like I got an email
yeah.
from them today.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you like 15 books. That will
no,
you
I
set.
Love that because no, it's so important. Like I think that when you stop. Caring about what other people think, it's so it is freeing, and I'm not perfectly there yet, but I think I'm so much more there than I used to be.
But there's no such thing as like perfectly there, like that's another thing, too. Like, it doesn't exist. The perfect parent doesn't exist, the perfect
nope.
human doesn't exist. Like, we are all flawed human beings, period.
Period.
No, oh, no
it's
one's perfect.
Right.
Except for maybe Rachel Hollis. She is, like, pretty close.
I don't know.
I'm obsessed
with her. With her bugs me, too. I mean,
yeah.
she's probably, I don't know her stance
I'm with
on
you.
The LGBTQ
yeah.
community, but she's very religious, and she probably has some thoughts about that
right.
are not in alignment with mine. So there
yeah,
you go.
Exactly.
There you
there
go.
Okay,
it's
true.
Me, so there you go.
Fuck like, you,
everybody.
Rachel Hollis. Fuck you. Love Alexis.
I love her books.
No.
I think
yeah.
they're amazing.
No,
and
just being real. There's something
as
yeah.
a follower of Jesus, and not the white Jesus, the brown Jesus, the real Jesus, the radical Jesus, who like really wanted to help people. And wasn't, you know, what Western culture has made him into be. But, you know, as somebody who is also a follower of Jesus, I love her books. And I think her book is amazing. And Girl, Wash Your Face was
it's
like, it changed.
Amazing.
It was great. Yeah.
Life changing.
It was amazing.
Life-changing.
Yeah. It's just nobody.
No, nobody's perfect.
Nobody's
period.
Perfect.
And again, like, when you think that way and you release all that and you say that, then all of a sudden you can be like, like I had to have those yeah. moments being a new mom being like, you know what, even if that's what those moms are showing on social media, there is no way that they're all perfect, and I
yeah.
have to release that so I can tell myself like I am doing the best job I can do
yeah.
and like I am being a good mom and I'm working yeah. as much as I can. I'm being, you know, in my household now that I raised
mom.
Thanks, love. Like I was never present in my household and now I am, and like I'm more present in my relationship with Justin, like all these things that I'm working
yeah.
on. That, like, I, again, used to hold shame for and things
balance.
That I couldn't balance. Exactly. Yeah. And you have to look at yourself and say, I'm doing the best damn job that I can.
Yeah.
period.
And that it's okay to have a mental breakdown once a week.
Oh, absolutely.
I sleep in my car.
Once a week is like probably a good amount. Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like that's about right. I cried myself in the tub yesterday. I got in the tub and I relaxed and then I realized all of a sudden I was bawling and I was like, okay, here's my breakdown.
And you know what? Because when we're in the dirt, that's where the growth happens, right? Like if everything was perfect all the fucking time, then we would never grow.
You just stay the same. Yeah.
I think it's weird when everything goes really, like I'm like, oh no, oh no.
Something's coming.
But you know what though? It's true though. It is how you grow or from challenges. And like, I look back at challenges I have, and I'm sure you do too, where you're like, you can be grateful that something happened, even though it was painful, because it made you who you are. It made you a better person.
Going to jail was the best thing that ever happened to me. That was the worst day of my life, and it was the very best thing that ever happened to me. And, you know, obviously I feel horrendous for everybody that was affected by that situation. But I hope you know that because of that, I've been literally able to help thousands of people because of that horrendous situation. So it's like sometimes things happen and we think it can't get worse than this. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. And those are the moments for like the most profound, like when I was able to release. It was almost like I shed like my whole body, like that's how much weight felt like it like fell off.
Of I believe that.
It's like dry brushing.
Yeah,
for your soul.
Yeah. And so we have those moments, and like going to jail was the very best thing that happened to me. And had I not had that experience, I probably wouldn't be alive today. And I really know that to be true. So, I mean, there you have it.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. It's a matter of perspective, and it's a matter of willingness to shift and change
and grow. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's so important to talk about because, again, when you stay in that comfort zone and you just stay in this box where you're like, okay, I'm safe here. Okay, maybe you are quote-unquote safe, but, like, are you really? Because you're not growing. Nothing's changing. You're not progressing. You're not moving forward. You're not moving backward, but you're definitely not moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you don't come to that in your own mind and realize, okay, I have to let myself fall. I have to let myself grow. It's like, it's a part of life. It's just, you know, there's tragedy and there's, you know, triumphs and there's everything in between. And it's like you said, for you, going to jail was that pinnacle moment. Like,
and I've had many. That was just kind of like the beginning. And obviously, like, being basically raped at age 4, that was not the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, that sexual trauma was, like, the
horrible.
It was horrendous.
Yeah.
There's a line between learning consequences of your actions and dealing with stuff, and
one
of the most horrific things that could happen to a person.
Yeah, that's true.
But even in that, I now have so much more compassion for people in a way that I didn't before. You know, and so these traumatic and painful things happen, and hopefully the end result is that instead of hardening your heart towards life, that you're able to face it and to acknowledge it and to move forward. I mean, I think that's the goal, right?
Right.
We live in a world where the majority of people walk around with masks on and their hearts are hard and, you know, they it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. And it's like, how can we be more compassionate, caring, gentle human beings towards each other, towards ourselves, and towards our planet? I mean, that's really my purpose.
Mm-hmm. No, and I love that. And I think it's true. It's like, how can you bring that compassion? And a lot of people do. They get sour over things. And I've had those conversations, like, because I am, you know, a social media influencer and people message me, I take my influencer work very seriously. And I feel like, you know, like you, when I'm putting content out there, I'm trying to provide some kind of something to someone. Like, you take away something where you're inspired or you're educated or you have a laugh or something. And I'll have people message me and be like, hey, how do you stay positive all the time? Like, in my DMs. And I'm like, I'm not positive all the time. Like, I know in most of my photos I'm smiling, and I am a very smiley person, and that is my personality, but like, this is the person who went through postpartum depression. This is the person who, you know, went through a lot when I was in high school. Someone who's been bullied several times. Like, you know, I don't necessarily show all of that, but I try to be as real as I can be about that. And I had a girl message me the other day and say to me, thank you for sharing that, because I'm having a really hard time in high school right now. And it like broke my heart.
Oh my
because
God.
I was literally sitting there crying because I'm like, I felt for her what I was feeling in high school and what I was being done to me and being bullied. And I was like, it does get better. You will get past it. It seems like right now it's only this small world, but I promise
here
you.
It's 12 to 18 year old girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your life in high school does not really
minuscule.
Matter.
Nothing.
Like, it's like nothing. Like, you're going to go off and have a big, beautiful life and find real girlfriends that care about you and build your own tribe. And
be successful.
Be successful and all of that. And
that's exactly what I said
to
this girl.
Oh,
just
know that.
I know.
It's so
it was
so
heartbreaking.
Hard. And it starts in kindergarten. My daughter's
that makes
dealing
me,
with it.
That makes me so
in
upset.
Kindergarten,
yeah.
Where
what?
She comes home crying.
Oh.
So-and-so said she didn't like my sweatshirt. And so-and-so said I can't be boyfriend and girlfriend with Braxton. It's bubble, you know, whatever it is. And,
right.
And so in this day and age, to raise, I want my daughter to be kind and compassionate and inclusive, but I also have to teach her how to be resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really hard. And we do a lot of role playing back and forth where it's like, okay, so she says this and then I say this and I'm you and she's her. So we go through and then we switch the roles and we do this, you know.
That's so smart.
It's very smart.
It's hard work. But but I think it's important, you know, and to realize that even though she's 5, I have such high expectations of her sometimes. I'm like, wait, she's 5. She's not 29.
Yeah.
She's 5 years old.
Her brain is not fully developed.
Not even. And honestly, their prefrontal cortexes, which are responsible for all of your decision-making and reasoning don't even begin to develop until 10.
Wow.
Oh,
and
God.
They don't continue to develop. They continue until 25.
Wow.
So it's like we expect so much out of these little tiny kids. And
they're not even there yet.
They're not there yet.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard. There's a great book on it called Queen Bees and Wannabes. If you're a mom of a girl, I highly suggest that.
Oh, wait, that's what Mean Girls was based on.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a great book.
Fun fact.
I'm impressed that you know that.
And for someone who doesn't read.
I know. I'm impressed that she knows that.
I do read.
I know, but like that's impressive.
Do?
No, she reads, but like you do more
Audible.
You don't nowadays.
I do more Audible.
Yeah. Understandable. It's a busy world.
I did.
I'm Audible like every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to like Howard Stern, Audible, and CNN.
There you go.
In my car. And occasionally I rock out to like, you know, some good music.
Yeah, of course.
Really, I use that time to like Audible.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love being alone in the car sometimes. It's so funny because, like, this is, like, almost an hour from where I live. And, like, I don't always, like, this is the situation because my partner has a child. And I'm not complaining.
No,
because
I know. It's just what it is.
It is what it is. And it's what I signed up for. And sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to drive. But then I'm like, but I get, like, this. And, like, I don't
bubble.
Have a kid.
Yeah.
But I have, like, a little bit of me time where I just don't, like,
no
I
hubby,
won't
nothing.
Do calls.
Yeah.
And I'll just, like, listen to a podcast or a book. And it's just, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Also, there's not too much traffic coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you take, like, interesting
No, I find the car very therapeutic, minus when Amelia's in it. Like, if Justin's watching her and I can just go do, like, anything. I'm like, what do you need? I can go to the grocery store. I'll just drive. I'll just get in the car.
It's a mom break. It's like, should I go to Target or should you go to Target?
I think I'm going to retire. Exactly.
$500 later.
Exactly.
Stroll around.
Exactly. Just walk around doing nothing. Exactly. I know Justin Vito texts me. He's like, you doing good? I'm good. See you in a few hours.
Bye.
Exactly. No, but I know what you mean with the car. Like, it is. It can be therapeutic and it's nice. And especially when it's nice weather and you can kind of put the windows down and just like let the wind hit your hair. Just like, you know, it just like feels good. And you're like listening to music, listening to podcasts. Like, you're just like in your own zone. You're like,
yeah.
All right, what am I getting out of today?
I'm a podcaster who just started listening to podcasts.
That's
like,
so weird. Wait,
really?
What?
That's hilarious.
Before. And honestly, it was Evan, my husband, who was like, you know, you should do a podcast. For probably over a year, and then finally I was like, okay, I'll do it. Just get off my back.
He's right though,
and it's been great. But yeah, I'll give you my Audible suggestions, and then you give me your podcast.
Yeah, Amanda
oh
has
my
really
god,
good
I'm
podcast.
So well because like I work from home, I don't have a kid, and I need background noise. So like. Mm-hmm. I do listen to a lot. Like,
yeah, you do.
I probably listen to more hours of it than I watch TV.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I need to do more of that because...
Amanda got me into podcasts. Like, when she was talking to me about wanting to start hours, and I was like, Amanda, I can't even think about starting a podcast. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not even in this world. I've listened to, like, two, and she was like, I'm going to send you, like... 10 really good ones to listen to, and then think about us doing
one. And then
one.
Listen to different episodes.
Yeah, and then I started, like, listening, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. Oh, I'm really getting a lot out of this. And then I was like, all right, we can do ours. I was like, what do I do? She's like, just show up. I will do the rest. And thank God she's, like, you know, smart like that. And so I was like, okay, I'll just show up. And now obviously I'm way more involved. But in the beginning, it was like,
I knew nothing.
Like, I was clueless. I was like, so how does this work? I just talk, and she was like, yeah, we're going to have a conversation.
I love it, because you can really affect people. Actually, someone I went to college with, I had dinner with her this week, and she was talking about all these things, because she, hi Jane, so there are like all these things that she's followed, like she got her skincare routine from listening to us, and and it like really was like a game changer for her, and I'm like, oh my God,
I
know I did something right, like having good skin is important, because I'm vain.
And you know, and then your skin is your largest organ, as Alexis will tell you. She taught me that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Did you not pay attention in high school
science? No, I didn't pay attention in high school. I had a lot of cute boys in that class.
Maybe I should be grateful my parents sent me to an all-girls
school. I definitely did not. From like the age of like 15 to like graduation, sorry mom and dad, I just was like all into boys. Like every boy in my class was just like, oh, I'll just pay attention to you. Like, I remember actually like one of my teachers coming over, Mr. Tamasakis. I remember because he would make me insane. Every day he would like wave his hand in my face like, Allison. And I'd be like, oh. And he'd be like, are you paying attention? I'd be like, yeah. What were we just talking about? I'd like have to like look at my book and be like, we're looking at Paige. And he's like, pay attention. I'd be like, oh, shit. It was like every time I'd just be staring off into the distance of the boys.
That's so funny.
I was totally that daydreamer. It was terrible.
Oh my God, that explains so much. I love it.
No, it's fine. Like, well, and to go off of that, my parents said that when I was in like second or third grade, like my teacher wrote in my progress report, like, Allie is not here present in class, but wherever she is, I would like to be. My parents were like, okay.
I feel like that's such a compliment, though.
Yeah. I mean, I was happy where I was. I don't know where I was. But
that was me for most of college. I was so, like, uninterested in so many things. Like, we once had to take, like, a computer science class. Like, I had to fill a requirement. And I literally just went to the labs. I'm like, I'm just not going to listen to the lectures. So, you know, I'm going to sleep in.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Whatever. I'm not going to be listening anyway. And I'm going to barely pass this class, so why bother?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. And then we learned so much aimless.
Oh, always. I always think about that. I'm like, what did I really? I mean, of course, for me, like fashion stuff with my like major and that stuff, I definitely took away from. But everything else, I'm like, what do I use it for? Nothing. Like nothing. Pie and all that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think about random things you're taught, and I'm like, what do I?
Why didn't I learn how to do my taxes?
Thank you. OMG.
Manage a bank account.
Or manage my finances.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I know. Like, the struggle is real.
I know.
Like, Justin wants to strangle me because he's a production accountant. And, like, he looks at me and he's like, what did you do? And I'm like, I thought I organized it. And he's like, your money is all over the place. And I'm like, here you go.
We actually had classes in like middle school where they taught us how to be organized. It didn't help me at all. If it makes you feel better, like I'm like, I can make a to-do list.
I can make a million to-do lists and then I can't find half my to-do list. They're lost in my notes, my phone. That's a new thing I'm learning. I can't put everything in my phone because I literally can't find them because I put so many. Yeah, it's terrible.
Get an actual notebook. I now have a manifestation notebook.
Do you?
And it's sort of a to-do list.
I need to get into
that.
I need to get into that. That's a really good idea.
I just do it in the morning. I have like a long-term manifestation and a daily manifestation, and I just write the date. So I have the book.
That.
I have like a little like a post-it note or whatever. And then I just started this week.
Good for you.
Only done it twice, and it's Friday.
Hey,
but
listen,
I tried.
You're trying,
because I feel like if I write it down, even if I don't get to it, it's just putting the idea in my head that this is what I want to do.
Definitely.
I do that in the shower. So every night that I shower, I go over.
You shower?
I shower every night before bed. I cannot get into bed dirty. It's like my biggest phobia.
Really?
Like I cannot get
No matter
in,
what? Okay,
I
wait.
I cannot get into
I couldn't.
So
until
if you were like at a park.
48 hours.
You will go home, even
shower.
If you're passing out, you will get in the shower.
I was touching your blood, your pee, brushing out her hair extension.
She was
holding
like A-plus
doula. Straight out of the amniotic fluid. Yeah, you better believe I shower after birth. I mean, I would get water broken on me. And, like, I get so much during
it's
the,
true.
The
Actually,
nasty ass
yeah.
hospital. Like, ugh. So, you know, blood squirting and all that. We go through it a lot as doulas. So, yeah, no, you know, whether it's a birth or a concert or a flight and we get home at midnight, you can ask my husband to drive some nuts. I get in the shower, I wash my entire body, my face, brush my teeth, and get into bed. I can't do it without it. I cannot.
All
right. I don't know how people don't wash their face before going to bed.
Yeah, I used to do that when I was like 18. And
oh, yeah,
like
same. Skin and yeah, your skin was just like, same.
Like, I could drink for days. And
yeah.
No, oh, my God.
We wouldn't see the effects. You know, yeah, same. Yeah,
spray some perfume.
Right.
Like, oh, good.
I can shower. Here we go.
I still like, whatever. I backed up from the night before.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I had those like little like to-go kit toothbrushes, and I'd like just rinse some water.
Oh, the little, like the little Colgate. It's like,
yeah,
the
like,
yeah.
First, I'd be like, okay, I'm good to party for 5 weeks at your house.
Exactly.
Yeah, see in a few. It's just like, and then I'd be gone in my own world for a few weeks. But yeah, it was just, I can't, yeah, I have to shower. And when I'm in the shower every night, I manifest, I go over, you know, I do like my positive affirmations and, you mm-hmm. know, that's my time to like connect, get quiet. It's probably like the only quiet part of my day. I do meditate, but usually my kids interrupt me.
I'm with
so
you.
That's kind of like, I lock
dogs.
My door. I'm like, Evan, watch the kids. I'm going to go shower. And, or they're already in bed. And,
right.
That's kind of like my quiet time.
Yeah.
It's so important.
It is. I know I've been meditating every night before I go to bed, and I used to do it in the mornings, and then now because Amelia's schedule has switched, it's like impossible for me to do it in the mornings, and I'm like, nope, I'm being interrupted. This is not working.
Yeah.
So now I do it at night when she's asleep and like the house is quiet, and yeah. I can actually like zone in and be like, okay, I can actually get something out of this.
Yeah.
But for me, I've realized when I meditate almost every day, it changes my whole week. It changes my whole month, like my whole perspective.
Yeah. Like, I mean, just when I pulled up here,
mm-hmm.
I had a really crazy morning. I volunteer in Harper's class in the morning, and I've got two kids to drop off, and I've got two lunches to make, and I've got to get myself ready, and then I barely eat and eat Allie's food at her house, and then and then I've got another appointment after this, and then rush home, and then I've got a birthday party in Culver City tonight. So it's just like bam, 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 bam. And I pulled up, and I just for 45 seconds closed my eyes, turned off my car, felt the sun on me, took a few deep breaths, and was like, okay.
Good for you.
You know, it's like just those few little pauses
yeah.
are so important.
It's like a reset.
I feel like we've been all over the place with this.
That's
no,
our podcast.
I think that's good, though.
That's our podcast. We think our guests at this point are pretty used to that. And we actually, it's funny, actually, that because Amanda won't read our comments, but I do.
So she
gets anxiety, so I do it. And I take the good and the bad and all
give
that.
Me the recap.
And so I give her the recap. And so actually, the other day, one of our new comments was that they like that it's more of a girlfriend conversation versus like
a
an Q&A. Interview.
Uh-huh. I don't think. You know, some Q&As are good.
Yeah,
but
for certain things.
And for some guests, they're good. But I just
but
feel
with
like
you, it's more.
I feel like you get more out of it.
Yeah.
And we should get paid from Audible, Target.
Yes, exactly. Like, make the
store.
List. Make the list. Exactly. Skincare.
Resume. Carla, girl, I need some free Botox.
Exactly.
Nicola, rate it. We're going to invoice all of
right.
you.
Invoice is coming.
You know what, though? I'll tell you what I've learned is that, like, certain times, because I try to meditate, and sometimes I'm really good, and sometimes I'm awful, and now I'm trying to be better.
But
like,
what's awful at meditation? Because it's all about just the intention.
I'll tell you what it is. I used to be able to transcend really quickly, and then that animal interrupts me. my dog, not like some person. But no, I used to like go to Against the Stream when it was Against the Stream, and I just Google Noah Levine and what's going on with that. I can't get into it on this podcast.
I also have own a rehab, so my husband owns that. We know all,
Yeah, I don't even know what to think anymore. I feel very, I don't really have an official opinion on it. But I think overall, it's the whole thing. I can say the whole thing is extremely unfortunate from multiple angles.
I think if we're going
to
talk about it, then we have
I know,
to
like,
give a little
yeah, let's give a little
bit. He was accused but never convicted of, was it sexual assault?
So I'm not exactly sure, but all I will say is this. What I've found to be true in the world of, and I wouldn't classify Against the Stream or even Buddhism as really a
refuge,
but as a, you know, any of these spiritual paths that you take, there's going to be flawed individuals.
Of course.
And usually the most flawed are the people at the very top. That's just my experience.
No, I'm just laughing because it's true.
My experience. And it's really unfortunate, and it all gets back to balance, right? Like anytime that you're extreme in any area of your life, that's when your ego can get involved and dangerous stuff can start happening. And I don't know the situation. I've heard what I've heard, and it's really unfortunate. But you know, I don't know if meditation is necessarily even. If you have to feel, there's been very few times. I've had some absolutely profound experiences in meditation, but the vast majority of my meditative experiences are just breathing quietly and releasing the stress and noticing the sounds that are going on around me and then coming back to my breath and then noticing what's going on around me and coming back to my breath. I mean, I think there's very few people who... quote unquote transcend more than that. I think the whole thing is about the intention of like, I'm going to take care of myself right now and I'm willing to sit and I'm willing to be uncomfortable or I'm willing to deal or face with whatever comes my way right now. And so just that openness, I mean, that's all that it really is.
It's just hard because like, I feel like I used to be, so I went through a really difficult period of my life. When I started going to Against the Stream, and I used to be able to, it was such like a relief to be able to go. It was near where I live. Mm-hmm. And I would just like really quickly transcend. And it happened so much that I got really used. It's almost like a drug. Mm-hmm. Like you just get used to it and you're like, oh, I want that. So I'm like chasing this weird like meditation where I'm like, it's never going to be as good as it was. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's so annoying because it really, but I do try to just sit there and breathe. I do try to just, like, even if it's a few seconds, I don't even put a timer on. I'm like, okay, whatever I'm doing can wait 1 minute or however long this is going to take, and I'm going to sit here, going to close my eyes and breathe. But it's so, it's just, like, it's hard. It's really, really hard for me. And I shouldn't judge my meditation.
Period. Yeah.
And it's harder to do at home. That's the other thing, too. I never was good at doing it at home. But if I would go someplace, like, I'm going to go here and meditate, I would, ugh. Yeah. It's so, it's like a mental thing, and it's like I'm trying to get in the zone or really out of the zone, mm-hmm. and I just can't, like my brain just doesn't do it anymore, or it takes 40 minutes and it's a 50 minute class.
Yeah.
I know like you shouldn't judge yourself, but.
I mean, I think it goes back to like the intention and this is what I'm going to try to do for myself and setting that and then, you know, acknowledging the fact that we're all going to fall short. That's not the end of the world.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the fact that you even make time to do it, like I tell myself, even if I don't actually do it, like yesterday, I planned on doing it yesterday morning and then Amelia was like all over the place and I was like, well, that's not happening. But then I made myself make time last night to do it and I felt like, okay, I at least did it today. I didn't do it when I wanted to do it, but I still got it done. So the fact that you make time and you write it down and you're trying to create that space is like what Alexis was saying, like you're creating that intention. And that's going to continue to like fuel you to really be better about actually meditating and finding that space where you feel like you connect.
Yeah, it's just, and I'll tell you though, this part of it and the scandal like kind of soured a lot of things for me.
It can do that. And it's so unfortunate. It does. But that's the thing too. It's like when there are leaders in spiritual movements, it becomes really dangerous. And that's what my whole thing is. It's like, be your own leader. Like, be your
lead
own
yourself.
Leader. Like,
yeah.
What he had in him and what Buddha had in him and what Jesus had in him and what Mother Teresa had in her and all of these huge spiritual... I mean, look at Gandhi. He was, like, a predator. I mean, like...
I didn't know he was a predator right now. I have to Wikipedia this.
Everybody's flawed.
Yeah.
And so what, but my point is that that innate truth and that innate being and all of that is already inside of you. You just have to tap into it. You know, like that God conscious, that universe, that higher something that's already, it's already within you. Like it, you're... being like it's longing for that. It's not longing for a Noah Levine or a Buddha or a Jesus or whomever. It's longing to know you and have a relationship with you, and it's already there. And I think So I had a really profound spiritual experience when Harper was 18 months old and I was on the verge of like suicide. And I was dealing with horrendous postpartum depression and anxiety. I was having 10 panic attacks a day.
Oh God.
It was horrible. And I started doing the book by Marianne Williamson, who's also running for president right now, which is really a trip to me. But she has this book,
bizarre,
365 Days of Prayer and Meditation, and it's called A Course in Miracles. And I was a couple months in of daily meditation, and I was not hearing anything, like, or having any experience other than I was reading the pages and doing the meditation. And a couple months in, all of a sudden, I was meditating and I heard, it wasn't outside of me, it was inside of me, and it was like this roaring voice. Like, wow. it shook, like my whole body was shaking. Wow. And it said, listen to my voice. And I was like, okay, listening. I'd never had anything like that in my meditations. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I've had thoughts and I'm like, okay, let the thought go. Like, you know, right. Doing all yeah. of that. And then I'm like, okay, I'm listening. And then I'm quiet for another couple of minutes. And then it said, listen. So first it said, listen for my voice. And then it said, listen to my voice. And I was like, okay, I'm listening. And at this point, tears are coming down my face. And everything got really quiet. Like, you know when you have those really nice moments that are sometimes 30 seconds, but sometimes a couple of minutes long where you're mm-hmm. not thinking at all?
Yep.
And literally I heard this, like, from my chest center, like, open, and heat was like pouring in.
Wow.
And it said, I am your father and you are my daughter and we are one. And I was like,
whoa,
holy,
I'm gonna cry, that's amazing
shit.
Like, wow.
And I think for me, because I had a really absent father, like, that's what I need to hear. And mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily have to be masculine or feminine, but I think that because I spent my whole life longing for that father who would embrace me and care for me and protect me, and I never had that, like, I realized that that's been there all along and that it's not separate from me and it's something that's inside of me. And there's something, I feel like with the life that I've had and with how many close calls I've had with between addiction and jail and getting out and all of the trauma that I've been through in my life, and I've had guns pulled on me, I've had blood clots, I've had so many things where I've had close calls, and there's always been there something there for me, and that's not luck, you know,
mm-hmm.
something that like recognizes that I have a purpose here, you know, and that it's important.
Yeah,
and, that's amazing.
And so I've had profound moments like that, and you know, they can be like that for anybody though. And I think it is really important that when we're constantly seeking and viewing people as higher up priests or religious leaders or teachers or philosophers or whomever, you know, it's like they're not
the end all.
They're
mm-hmm.
not, you know what
yep.
I mean?
Yep.
And it's so hard because, especially in AA too, we get sponsors, right?
Right.
And like we rely on them for like everything. And what we need to do is we need to learn to rely on ourselves. We need to learn
it's
to rely
true.
On ourselves.
Right.
And I think that that's so important because so often people are seeking all the time.
They are. And they're looking for someone else to look
yeah,
to.
Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. like, and it's right there. The whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too, and I noticed this in your birth. So I was at Allie's birth as her doula. And I think one of the things that I hope you walked away with was the empowerment of making all of the decisions. Like, even though your body and your baby weren't
not alive
behaving the way that you wanted her to
mm-hmm.
or it to,
mm-hmm.
I hope that you still felt in control. I mean, it's hard to feel in control is maybe not the right word, but I feel like you were able to tap into that, you know, where it's like, all that I need is right here.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
all that I need is right here. I mean, I have it all now.
Right.
And I'm so proud of you because it was hard for her to, after like 40 hours of labor, to even get an epidural, you know, because she's like, no, I'm fine. I'm doing this. And it's like, Allie, sometimes we need like a little help here, babe.
You did not. I know you had like such a birth plan. And you were so intense.
And Alexis told me from the get-go, like, it's not a plan. It's not a plan. It's a strategy. Don't use the word plan. I had to like really, let go of that and really still say to myself, okay, it's a strategy. But it was really hard for me. Because in my mind it was like, yeah, this is how it was gonna go. And I mean, yeah, and that's, I tell Justin all the time, like, because he's like, oh, it was just to be our doula again. But it's like, it's true. It's like, you empowered me so much when I was going through all that, between, you know, when I started laboring to when we went from the birth center to the hospital and all the craziness that went on between. The one reason I stayed sane, and Justin and I both felt like so aligned during all this, because we did feel that empowerment. We felt like we were making the decisions. We felt like we knew, you know, even if things weren't going right, we felt like, okay, but we made this decision, and then that decision didn't work out, so now we have to make this decision. But
and that's always my goal as a doula, is not to be like some savior,
right,
but in order to empower people to save themselves and to make those calls, you
right.
know, and I think that that's so important, because motherhood is all about intuition.
Yeah.
And if you're not empowered to follow that intuition into your birthing process, it really hinders
you being
able to follow that intuition when you're having mastitis,
right,
or a breastfeeding issue,
right,
or whatever, or whatever,
you have
that
to trust
connection
in yourself
with your baby. And
yeah,
you have to. And it's like, and you're not going to if everybody's making calls and decisions for you. And that's why I really appreciate, and not to say that those hard calls don't have to be made, because they did. I mean, Robin had to make that hard call,
yep,
like, we need to transfer to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't want to get out of the tub.
And she didn't, and it was hard.
That was
it was the right call to make, though. But I hope, you know, but she was always like, I think, what do you think about this? And Dr. Polyakin, who was extremely patient with us, and who was just kind of like, well, I'm going to let you make the decision if
he
you
did.
Want to have a C-section or not, which... Very few doctors.
I know. I thank him for that.
Very, very few doctors would.
Give
they would have
option.
Just been like, "Nope, I'm calling this."
And no, he was really,
you know, and the nurse and staff and everybody. It was really, as much as it was chaos.
Yeah, it was chaos.
We in which birth is often.
Yes.
I hope you felt empowered, and I saw that. I mean, just comparing my birthing experience and my C-section was not, there was no, it was like, nope, you've lost all rights to your body and
that's
all control
awful.
To your
that's
baby
horrible.
And you're going to have a C-section right now. And basically I was so loaded within the first 10 minutes from all the drugs they gave me. And I don't remember the first hours with my baby. And it's like, yeah. So I think that that's so important. I don't know how we got there. Oh, but that thing is already inside of you.
Yeah,
know,
no, but you're right.
That
it is.
All of it is. It's just a willingness to like...
And to tap into it. And you're right. And it was, it's so true, because like when I was going through all that, I did keep tapping in. And like, and I think that's why also like in the beginning for me, why I wanted a water birth is because for me, that's where I felt the most connected to my body and to my, you know, daughter who wasn't born yet.
When
it
I walked
like...
into the house, I'm like, where's Allie? He's like, she's in the tub. I'm like, she's in the tub. Okay.
You were like in the bathtub for 9 months.
Yeah, she was. And then into the shower and then back into the tub and then downstairs. But then she wanted to get into the tub. I'm like,
okay. Well, she's like, okay, you're done with the tub now.
I want a little bit. We're going to go walk around.
But it's true, like I felt that empowerment, and I felt that, you know, within me. But it is true, like no matter what you're going through, you have to trust that intuition. I appreciate you saying that, because I had to trust mine with so many things. Like when I became a new mom, so much shifted for me so quickly, and like I couldn't even express half of it to you in the beginning when everything was going on and you were checking on me. Like I couldn't even get my emotions out. I couldn't even, you know, say what I was feeling or where I was at, and nobody understood. And I finally had to like sit there and look at myself and be like, okay, stop involving everyone outside. What's going on with you?
And I remember I told you from the beginning, don't have anybody at your house until your baby's 6 weeks old.
I know. I remember. I know.
Don't.
I know.
I'm telling all of you listeners.
Yeah.
You will need help. Get help from people who come and go. and who really want to help, you know, and who, you know, aren't going to make comments about your choices. And I think that that's so important, because it's like, okay, so I've birthed this baby, I'm exhausted, yep. and I'm looking at this baby, and it's like, well, what do I do with you?
Yeah.
You know, and uh-huh. they're so needy, and they rely on you so much.
Oh,
so you're transitioning into this period of motherhood, and it's like all of those other little distractions are just that. They're distractions mm-hmm. from you being able to tap into that innate knowledge that's kind of like downloaded
it is.
Into you
right.
once you have them and
yes.
hold them the first time. You're like,
and all of a sudden, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so
and
true.
Not to say that you don't need help. Occasionally, you might need to see a lactation consultant
right.
or whatever it
of
might
course.
Be. But it's like, we have to be so strategic about what that help is.
Keep your in-laws away. I think that's what you're trying
yeah,
to say.
Yeah. Like, all
yeah.
family.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
I
and it's like they,
important.
It's very true. And Justin and I have had that conversation. And it's like, they all need to come from a good place because they're so excited. They
yes.
want to be in everything and everything. But it's like, again, it is those distractions, and it is hard, and especially when you are someone who wants to nurse and you're having trouble, you don't realize how much of those distractions and then their conversations and then, oh, it's fine. You can just do formula. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with formula, but that's not where I'm
yeah,
at. And
I don't need
to hear that right now. I'm
yeah.
trying to stay in the zone
yes.
to be able. And I'm so thankful like for you and Robin and the lactation team of Goldilocks because they were able to help me, you know, within 3 weeks to get Amelia to like fully latch. And then finally, even though it was still hard for a few months, I was finally able to get in a rhythm.
Yeah.
And I remember so many times being like, I'm just going to give up. I know why people give up now. I'm just
yeah.
going to give up. And now I'm like, we've been going for almost a year. And I'm like, this is, I don't want to say the easiest thing, but now it's so natural.
It's
and
just
it's
second
so,
nature.
It's just second nature. And I'm so thankful
yeah.
that I stuck with it and I did it. But I feel like I really did tap into that intuition to be like, no, I can do this. And it's hard, but I can persevere and I can figure it out.
Yeah.
And I need to stop listening to the distractions. So you're right. No matter what you're going through in life,
yeah.
you have to trust in yourself. You have to
And
reach
to
within.
Recognize that, especially with your first baby, you're only going to get those first newborn 6 weeks once.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have a second baby, you don't get it. You
right.
don't get to just lay in bed for hours.
No.
You have a toddler.
Yeah, you got to run around after that.
My daughter's school gone.
Oh, okay, take it. It's okay.
Oh, my God, I feel terrible.
No, it's fine.
No,
that's
no,
your
no.
Life.
We'll pause. So, it's official. Alexis's daughter has a rash.
Yeah, that was the school calling. I'm like, she's had that for like 3 weeks.
Way to be on top of it.
Thanks. Yeah, she's allergic to amoxicillin, we found out.
Oh, fun.
That's really fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Especially because
corn and raspberries, but
doctors always prescribe amoxicillin.
Yeah,
that's going to be so annoying for years to come.
Yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, she's fine. And I was saying, it's, your first kid, you're like, oh my God, a rash. And your second kid, you're like, yeah, she's fine.
Well, and I was telling, so funny you say that. I was just telling Justin yesterday, I feel like sometimes I'm so lax with Amelia. I wonder why I'm like that. Like, even my mom was like, you're so like second mom with her, and it's your first baby. And I'm like, I am. She's like, yeah, you're so like, oh, she fell over. She's fine. And I'm
yeah.
like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like,
anything.
I don't know. I just, again, tapping into within,
yeah.
I just trust her. And, like, obviously, I'm not just, like, a fool. Let her do her own thing, anyone listening. But, like, if
keep
I see,
broken glass all over
exactly.
the house.
But, like, if she
no,
falls
but
down,
I don't
I'm like,
my kids
really, no.
they're really hurt.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah.
oh, you're good.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, yesterday, Amelia's
young.
Right,
yeah.
yeah. Amelia, like, is starting to stand on her own now. So, yesterday, mm-hmm. she was, like, bouncing. And then she fell over. And she looked at me, and she went, and I was like, you're fine. And then she looked at me, and I was like, okay. And then she went back standing. And I was like, mm-hmm. we're good. It's all good.
Yeah.
Like,
well, kids fall. Like,
yeah.
it would be terrible if she wasn't trying to walk so she could fall. Then there would be something,
yeah,
like,
true.
Really wrong. I do have, like, weird things that I know about kids, even though I'm not a mom.
You're a good auntie.
And
no,
I feel
like
I have,
my friends
like,
with their babies, like, I'll go to, like, you know, Gymboree or something with them, and, like, they're so all over them, and they're like, she's all the way over there, and I'm like, I can see her. Like, she's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get that
yeah.
hover. I don't know. I mean, everyone's different, but I just, it doesn't flow for me. For me, I feel better just trusting and just watching.
Helicopter mom?
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't. Trust me. It affects them when you have to eventually send them to preschool and they don't want to leave because they're afraid that mommy's not going to be there. You
oh,
know?
Really?
It's like, yeah. Like, I really believe that's what a secure attachment is, that my kids know that I'm always going to come back and that they're okay on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah. And that you
yeah.
have to be independent,
I'm
but you're always
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're their rock, but they can do it themselves. Yeah. yeah.
How to screw up your kid.
101.
You know what's really funny, though, that I was going to say, which is that, like, you've been through so much, and, like, you seem so totally normal and, like, very wise. No, it's
we
true,
always
though.
Say that you are very wise, though.
No.
Like, you definitely take away from all of your experiences in a good way.
No.
And you learn from them, and you push through them.
Like,
yeah. I mean, that's a lot of work. it's not been like an easy thing.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not saying it is, but like you keep up appearances so well, like better than I do, like amazingly well.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that people, like I said, like actually read my content because it's often very raw and vulnerable. And it's just, I think, thank God for therapy that keeps me somewhat sane and meditation and prayer and all of the self-work and self-reflection that I've done is great. I mean, but I'm human and I definitely have issues. Like it's not, certainly not easy, and it's not, and I'm not perfect at it all the time. Like I said, like just a couple weeks ago, I had like a full on, I still don't feel normal after that, right. Like mental breakdown. I was like, my whole world is collapsing right now and it feels really stressful. And, you know, I don't always have the most positive outlook on life, but I do the best that I can.
Right.
I do the best that I can. I mean,
that's the best you could do.
Yeah. And that's really it. And, you know, I'm just here to be like real about that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But thanks. I appreciate it. I mean, like, I'll take that as a compliment because I often feel like I'm crumbling. And I look at my messy house or the laundry pile.
See my house
or,
right now?
Well, but
your house looks amazing on Instagram, by the way. It never looks messy.
I'll tell you why. One, I have a maid that comes 3 days a week. I hired her recently because I was like, I can't keep up anymore. And for me, one thing that I've really noticed is that if my living space is chaotic, then my mind feels chaotic.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I'm with you. Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, which is why I was telling you when you got here, like Justin and I have been going room by room and just like cleaning everything out and trying to start over and like kind of doing the whole Marie Kondo thing. Like it's true though. Like what sparks joy and like going through.
Yeah.
It's like necessary
because
I realized the same thing. I'm like, why am I so chaotic? Because everything is everywhere. That's why I'm so chaotic.
And it's so hard, especially when you have little kids.
Oh, it's so hard.
And so finally I said enough and I hire a maid. And,
good for you.
And I don't keep a lot. Like I throw out a lot of stuff and
right.
I don't
know. That's part of my problem.
I'm like, I just can't keep all of this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of one of my tools is when I keep my spaces like relatively clean and organized, then my brain and my life seems and feels like a little bit more organized.
Right.
So, and especially with two kids, like the jump from one to two, I'm not going to lie, girl, it's 100% more work.
Oh,
it's not
wow.
like just adding
sure.
one into the, you know,
oh,
it's
yeah.
100% more
yeah,
work.
This, is,
another
this is better birth control than like Ortho Tri-Cycle.
I know. I mean, every time she's over, she's like,
my
I'm
legs are
Amelia,
closed for business.
Like, I'm shutting my legs. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, it is life changing. Like, everything shifts and everything changes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like, it's so funny you said that too, because the other day I was talking to a mom and she was like, she has three. And she was like, she was hard, and then I added a third, and it was like nothing. And I was like, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, no, because
that's
I think
what
I was
you say, yeah."
And
they
I was
say
like,
"The third is easiest." I'm like, "Well,
how?"
I'm on the fence. because it's already chaos, and then the third
you
one
just add the chaos,
toted around like you know,
no
like,
big deal.
Here we are.
That's probably why my brother Justin is just so like easy and whatever, because he's so used to my parents, the chaos of me and Daniel, that he was like, "Oh, I'm just the third. I'm throwing it in, like whatever. Here I am."
This is, I'm going to, sorry,
you're
I have
right
to call my doctor because I'm, hi, where do I get my, Siri, where do I get my tubes tied?
Yeah, but at the same time, there's so much fun. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, it's all chaos and crazy, but it's amazing.
Absolutely.
Like,
and they're worth
I can't,
it, and
I can't imagine life now, like, I tell Justin all the time, I'm like, I really, truly don't remember life without her and really don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah. I mean, when my 5-year-old looks up at me at the end of the night and I'm reading stories in bed and she said, "Mom, you're the best mom in the whole world."
Aww.
And there is nothing better. Or that first I love you.
Yep, or
you know,
mama.
Like Coco
yeah,
says
like, mama,
now
like,
to me. She goes, "Thank you, mama. I love you."
Oh,
like, just melt me, you know.
Aww.
And it's like those moments absolutely make all of the chaos and all of the craziest worth it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. There are moments where I'm like, I don't want to be a mom right now.
I'm with you.
Like, I don't.
Yep.
This
I think it's
not,
okay to say that.
It is. And more people need to because it's honest.
It is honest.
It's freaking hard.
It is.
And
mom is hard. Momming is hard.
Yeah. And then, you know, but the majority of the moments I'm like, oh, I love this and it's great. I mean, school's definitely made things harder in some ways, but easier in a lot of
right.
ways. Like Harper going to school for the day and getting all that energy out and running around, it's like, whoa. Okay.
Yeah, right. Maybe a place for her to have. Yeah. No, but it's true. And it's true about melting you because Amelia just started being like, mama. And I'm like, oh, my God. You can say it 100 times over. Poop on me, pee on me. I don't care. Like, mama. Like, okay.
Yeah. As long as they don't vomit on you. Like,
oh, my God.
Do not vomit on me, child. Do not vomit on me.
My two-year-old had norovirus.
Oh, no.
We ended up in the hospital because she was so lethargic. IVs, barfing all over me.
Oh,
like,
no.
And then I'm like, secretly, and I know this is so sick, I'm like, okay, I'll catch it. This is one I'll catch. I'll just barf for like 5 days and lose 10 pounds. And I know that's so...
No, it's not.
Disorder, horrible talk, and I know it's like so bad, but I'm like, this one's one that I'll actually take.
Right, you're like, this one might add to what I'm trying to do here.
This is horrible, but I mean, yeah, it was brutal, and the poor thing. So yeah, I mean, we've been pooping the tub, pooping against the walls. We've had poop everywhere.
Yeah,
I have dogs, so I'm used to the poop.
Yeah, I mean, it's just everywhere. It's like Justin said the other day.
My dog is the only human that doesn't poop in my house. I mean, the only being, I should say, not human, but the only thing that doesn't actually poop in my house.
It was hilarious. No, Justin said to me last night, because he was cleaning out Amelia's, like, you know, what's it, Ubi diaper pail or whatever. Another sponsor. And he's like cleaning out, and he's like, you know, I realize my life is shit. I clean up her poop, I clean up the cat's poop, I do it my own. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, it's kind of true. But I'm like, it's what you are when you're a parent, right? And you're like, or even if you have animals, it's like you just, you're in it. It's just, that's what life is.
Yeah.
But you just learn to function.
No. I know.
You have your two dogs. I mean, they're well behaved, but you still have to deal with their stuff.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, I feel like I'm going to be totally prepared to be a mom. No one is ever totally prepared.
You've been through so much with myself, Chanel, and so many other friends of yours that have babies. Like, you're pretty
close. I'm not really worried about it, as weird as it sounds. I just really want to enjoy my time. I prioritize enjoying time while I don't have a kid. I was invited on these press trips, and I'm like, and sometimes I'm just like, do I want to go to Vegas? I'm not a Vegas person. And I'm like, Amanda, when you have a kid, you're never going to be able to go to Vegas.
I'm going to Vegas next week or in 2 weeks.
For Backstreet Boys.
It's
like, you can. And my husband and I actually take 2 trips a year by ourselves without our kids.
Good for you.
And we travel with our kids. And thank God for family. We just went to Mexico in September and then again in January. And we do our little getaways. So you can. It's
just work.
Does your mom love them?
Yes. She had a hard time getting into the role of grandma for sure. But she's getting better and I'm really grateful. And when she's with the girls, she's awesome. And Harper is so obsessed with her, and it's really cute to watch.
Aww.
Yeah, it's really cute.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I wish his parents were down here because that would make life even easier. But
that's how I feel about his parents too.
I've got great help. It's okay.
Yeah, and help is so necessary. Mm-hmm. Like I don't realize even just like for like a day, sometimes like if I like need it, I'm like, you know what? For a few hours, I'm just gonna get it because it's like you don't realize you're just in it. All day, all night, and you lose your mind. Like, there are times where I'm like, I'm losing my shit.
Yeah. If once a week I alternate, like, so I'll get my lashes done and do a yoga class.
Right.
And I'll have a sitter come.
Right.
You know, so I can have that little time.
A little me
time. I'll go and do my nails or whatever. Yeah. Once a week I have to do it.
Yeah.
It's so
I know. I'm realizing it more and more. Like, I'm
especially
like, I have to block off space.
Yeah. Now that I'm like in birthday zone.
Right.
My dog set all
that
the
would be
tiles.
Lulu. It's done. Don't touch it.
Turning off the toys. So yeah, now that I'm like in birthday land, you know, where it's like every weekend there's some kid's birthday,
my daughter included.
That sounds like the that just sounds awful.
I'm like, we're busy.
We're not available. Don't post on social media today.
I go to a lot of them, but it's like, I'm sorry. If it's every weekend, it's just like, no. Like, I just don't.
No, it's like there's always something. Justin said the same thing.
And why
do
we invite the whole freaking class? Like,
right, like we're not friends with the whole class, so why is the whole class coming?
Yeah, I'm like, can we just do something quiet? Harper's about to turn 6, which, oh my God, how is that even possible? She's going to be 6, and I'm like, okay, can we just... have like 3 friends over at the house for a makeover party, like, and that's it.
Right.
Easy peasy. I don't want to go
call Glam Squad.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, invoice them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Invoice. That's so. No, you know what? It's so funny. So I lived. My ex boyfriend had a child, and we lived together. And she was there, like, I think 3 days a week, and he would go on play dates with her, and I'm like, why would you do that? Like, I'm like, that's time. Like, you don't have to be like a dad. Like, someone
else can.
You have to
until they're a certain age.
Right. Yeah. She was eight.
That's too long.
He was also like not a good father. Uh-uh. I mean, it's the whole situation was sort of sad, but like, I did not think he was such a great father, even though he didn't, even though his daughter did. But I mean, I shouldn't say that. That's so judgy. See, I'm judging a parent and I don't even have a kid. I'm so ready for motherhood. no, but it's true. I'm like, you're there? That sounds like, ew.
It's definitely hard in the beginning. Like, yeah.
I had fun at Gymboree the other day. I actually thought I was going to hate it, but I actually had a lot of fun watching Amelia thrive and have fun in music and, like, play with drums. It was, like, actually fun.
I mean, it's cute.
But did you? I would just go to like watch the other moms, kind of like.
Well,
you,
I met
like,
two moms.
How does that work?
I met two moms and we hit it off, and they were like, one was a travel blogger and one was, I don't know now, mom brain. But it was cool, and we like talked and chatted, and they were talking about like their crazy birth. Actually, one of them had Poyak and delivered their baby, which is hilarious.
Doesn't everybody?
Right? I know. And I was like, oh wow, and we were talking and whatever, and then it was funny because one mom was like, oh no, I was like the minute I got into contractions, epidural, I need this, I need that. She was like, I don't know how you did any of that. And I was like, each his own. Like, everybody likes, you know, their own thing. And she was like, I couldn't.
I feel like a lot of those people, too, they're just so afraid.
Yes.
Like, they don't know what to expect.
Yes.
And, you know, it's probably generational. I think a lot of it has to do, and I feel like this with the breastfeeding rates, too, because we don't see women breastfeed, and because we don't see each other breastfeeding, because we don't talk about the trials and traditions
I see Allie breastfeeding.
I know, Amanda sees me breastfeeding all the time.
Yes, culture
you're welcome,
society, Amanda. You know, and all we see is, like, what's on TV. We're like, right. Oh, you know, we're like, the very beginning of it is really, like, period cramps. Like,
it's horrible.
I mean, I don't know. For me, it was like, I could deal with this 1 minute of pain every 5 minutes. Like,
right.
You know, I don't know. I feel like it's just, there's so much there that we can dissect, but I don't have time today because I have to go to a dermatologist.
She has an appointment. But before we wrap this up, because obviously, like we said, we've kind of been a little bit all over the place, but can you tell us, obviously, you have the podcast, Recovering From Reality, so you guys will put it in the show notes, but you have to check it out. But can you tell us kind of what's to come with that? What are some things you're excited about that you're working
spill
on?
Spill the tea on some of your upcoming guests.
Yeah, give us some of the tea, you know.
Recovering From Reality, and you can find us on Instagram at Recovering From Reality, or my personal Instagram page, which is It's Alexis Haynes, H-A-I-N-E-S. And or you can go to recoveringfromreality.com. You can subscribe on all of my freaking channels. We're up on everything. I'm really excited about this upcoming Monday. I'm having my friend Rochelle McLean, who's married to AJ from the Backstreet Boys, on to talk about online bullying and body image and parenting and being married to a celebrity and what that's like. And her episode is freaking epic. You guys, I just finished with the editing and it's just incredible. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear. It's so moving. And then the following episode, I can't decide. Okay, I've got a couple of really cool people. I've got a writer from Betches who I actually really just adore.
Wait, is it Aileen?
No. It's Millie Moore. Do you know her?
No.
She's so funny.
I want Aileen on this podcast.
She's great. So Millie came on. And then I've got Bob Forrest, who I absolutely love, and he's one of the biggest interventionists in the game, and he co-founded Aloar Treatment Center, and he's helped people like Courtney Love get sober. Like, he's just got so many amazing stories and experience. And let's see, Allie's going to come on in a few months.
Talk about motherhood.
There's just so much coming up that's amazing, and I can't wait for you guys to hear. And I'm gonna do a podcast. I'm so excited about this. I'm gonna do a podcast in ASMR like the entire time.
Wait, what's that?
You see my blank
what
face?
What the fuck? What the fuck?
You see my blank face? I like tried to fake it, but it wasn't happening.
ASMR, no, like it's like a craze on YouTube. Now you have to Google it. Like,
yeah, what?
where you make weird sounds and like whisper into the mic. Like it's a whole, it's like a sound, like kind of like a, people like trip out over like,
oh, sounds. I know what you're talking about.
So I'm going to have this hilarious female comedian come on and we're going to do an entire episode in ASMR.
Oh, like, wow.
People,
that'll be interesting.
People want to hear like weird. Yeah. It's going to be funny and very weird.
No, I'll have to Google it. I'm like,
follow me on Instagram. We've got a lot going on. Yes. Las Vegas, Backstreet Boys and Coachella and all of that stuff. That's on my personal page though. And yeah.
And then you're writing the book.
And I'm writing a book.
That's
exciting. That won't be ready for like 6 to 8 months.
That's fine. But you're writing
which
it.
Which is very
writing
short it? In terms yeah, of like say, a book. Like, well, because she does it quick. Because I had, do you know Darren Prince?
No.
He did Anna's first book and he was on, I produced someone else's podcast and he was on.
Awesome.
And his was like very quick.
Yeah, that's fast for a book.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
good for you.
My story's been told like a gazillion times. This is going to be kind of more, it's going to be my story, but in it is going to be like how to build your life up after you burn that shit down. Like what are like the active steps that you take to build a big and full and beautiful life after you've fucked it all up and gotten sober. So
right.
I think that, you know, everyone knows like how to get sober. It's like, okay,
what do you do after that?
The easy part. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you mm-hmm. fix your life after you fucked it all up? So
right.
I think that
yeah.
that's really important. And so, you know, all of that, being an influencer, having a podcast.
I know, but we're so proud of you. Like, especially with like social media and your podcast and everything you're doing, like, you've just made like leaps and bounds in everything you're doing. It's amazing.
Girl, and all with the intention of just being, you know, a space of light and love for people to grow and evolve and be their best selves. You
yeah.
know, that's the intention behind it all. So,
well, we love that.
This is, I have to tell you, when I interviewed you first like 4 years ago, I knew good things were going to come from you.
Oh,
I just knew
no,
it.
No,
it
was good like that. And she even said
and
to
I
me
said
when,
that.
When you came on our podcast and then, you know, you and I connected and hit it off and I was like, I definitely want her as my doula. She said to me before you came on, she was like, I'm telling you right now, she's
like,
totally
whatever
your
you
vibe.
Think,
she's
amazing.
She's
amazing. She's super
like,
interesting.
She's super interesting. And she did. And she was like, you know,
so
I'm telling you, like, you may like, you know.
Don't
you
believe
may,
what you read
right,
and what you hear.
Exactly.
Just
said,
trust me with
she
this.
She was like, trust me with this. I'm bringing her on immediately. And immediately I fell in love and I was like, you're 100% right. Like, and it's true. Like, obviously you
like,
only
she's
get
gonna be your
bits
doula.
And pieces of stories because that's what media puts out there. That's what everything you read and see.
That's a whole another topic, like the way women, and I talk about this a lot on my podcast in the upcoming episodes, the way women are portrayed
oh,
in
absolutely.
Media is...
versus what's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
like so true, because Amanda was like, I interviewed her and I'm telling you like her heart, her soul, everything. So we're just like so happy for you because everything
yeah.
you're doing is just amazing.
You're so sweet. I appreciate it. And I love you girlies. And I just think that there's something so special about having women that uplift each other and
there is.
You know, it's so important. So thanks for what you're doing over here.
Thank you for what you're doing. This was awesome.
This was amazing.
We're all just like gushing over
I know.
Time.
I was like, yeah,
amazing.
Like,
amazing.
Like,
amazing.
Like,
amazing.
Like,
amazing.
The little heart emojis
awesome.
Around the room.
There's flying
right,
up.
Flying heart eyes everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, my
but,
God.
But as we always say.
Be fabulous.
And be you.
And uplift other women. Bye.
Bye.
Taught them both how to Jane Fonda. 1, 2, 3, 4. Get your booty on the dance floor. Work it out. Shake it, little mama. Let me see you do the Jane Fonda.